Finally, this hour, the population trends for the cities. Eric Roper from the Star Trib wrote an interesting piece in the Sunday paper about interesting new numbers that show where populations, where people in the Twin Cities are heading. I've always said some of the most interesting news stories come from places where lines on a graph cross or where they change direction. This one is a little bit about changing direction. It suggests that the two Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul themselves, are going to start and have started becoming a larger share of the entire metro. Reporter Eric Roper joins me now. Say more about this, Eric. What are you talking about here with these numbers?
Hi, Tom. I think it's, you know, obviously about 76% of the metro area is suburban, but it really wasn't always that way. I mean, back in 1910, it was actually kind of the opposite of that. Almost 79% or so of the metro area lived in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So there's kind of been this slide. Obviously you can walk around downtown in Minneapolis, for example, and just see sort of how many buildings have been rising. But kind of underlying all that is that actually this decade will end up being the first in a century where that slice of the regional population pie for the central cities will expand versus shrink, which, you know, and it's not going to double, but it's going to move in the opposite direction, which is a reversal from what's been happening for 100 years.
Right. We're not anywhere near just the two cities having more people than the rest of the metro combined. We may never get back to that point, but you're right. Saying it's turning back just a little bit at least.
Yeah. And I think on top of that, it's interesting that there hasn't been a decade with this many new people moving into Minneapolis since the 1920s. And as far as the population estimates go, we're only 6 years into the decade. Obviously, we're 7 years in, but we only know the population 6 years in. So, it's a pretty significant reversal for a city like Minneapolis, which, you know, the city's population between 2000 and 2010 really didn't change much at all. And so this post-recession growth has been a big shift.
We should also clarify, though, that this does not mean that the suburbs in total numbers, that their populations are declining, right?
No, not at all. In fact, I think, the metro area is about 3 million now, and the rest of the region has also grown in the last 6 years by about, you know, I guess maybe a little over 120,000, 130,000 or so. But it's just if we look at that share, I may have that number wrong, I'm just estimating, yeah. But if we look at a share, that's where the shift is. So it's, you know, because you could, obviously we're growing as a region, so they're not reducing
right.
in population.
So the suburbs are gaining, but the two cities are gaining at a higher rate now.
Right, essentially, yeah.
Isn't that what's happening in all the metros? Isn't that the story in every city or no?
The answer is no. So, there's a William Frey, who studies this at the Brookings Institution. He compares in metro areas central city growth to non-central city growth because metro areas are huge places, right? So our census-defined metro area actually extends into western Wisconsin and up to Lake Mille Lacs, which, you know, I don't know. It's up to individuals to decide whether they consider that the metro area. And then within that, he looks at, okay, how quickly is the growth in the central cities versus in the the other cities? And about of the 53 largest metros in the country, about half of them have that central city growth moving faster, and about half have the suburbs moving faster. And so it's there is a shift there, and that's kind of a that metric depends a lot on some central cities are really large and some are not. Like I was just in Phoenix, where most of the metro is the central city, so there is kind of some variables in there as well.
Eric Roper with me from the Star Tribune. Read his paper or his Sunday story here about the numbers here in the metro, especially how Minneapolis and St. Paul themselves are growing. Interesting look at these numbers as well. And we're very mathy here, which I like, Eric. I'm never going to apologize for, but broaden this out. Why should we care? What is this suggesting? What is this doing? What is this saying?
Well, I think, first of all, I think what's really interesting beyond just the growth is when you, so the Met Council keeps really good data on exactly where the growth is happening, because they track where the housing units are being created. So they know better at this point, maybe, than the census estimates about exactly where some of the population is changing. And when you look at Minneapolis, about almost 50% of Minneapolis's growth in the last several years has been just along the riverfront. So it's very concentrated, right? So it's not just, and so what we end up with is very dense communities that almost, in some cases, didn't even exist a number of years ago. I mean, in the 1980s, if you think about in the early 1980s, the city of Minneapolis and the railroad companies were tearing up railroad tracks around the river, and then the city of Minneapolis later came in and built roads. So, I mean, we're talking about communities that were built on land that, you know, was not inhabitable for residential development, you know, not that long ago. And that's where we're just seeing this tremendous growth and dense growth, you know, because it is so concentrated.
You know, there's a great graph in your story here about the riverfront here, and it says what you just said. Nearly 14,000 people have moved into that riverfront by the Guthrie there, into Northeast, St. Anthony, Maine, and the like. 46% of Minneapolis's entire growth was in this section, which is only 7% of the city's land, which is another way of saying what you just did about how dense it is. Half of the growth on 7% of the land.
And the other thing I think was interesting, and this is part of the riverfront, obviously this is, you know, if you look at downtown, which we would just be looking west of the river in that case, there's a great organization at the University of Minnesota called the Minnesota Population Center. They're one of the most important organizations you may have never heard of. They influence a lot of national news stories every day in the way that they present historical census data. The New York Times, a lot of major news organizations use their data. They helped us crunch the numbers on whether downtown's population is actually larger today than it was in 1950 at the city's peak. And the answer, and this is, you know, inexact science because the census tracts have changed somewhat, but the answer is it's either approaching that 1950 number or it's already past that 1950 number. And that's largely something that's happened in the last several years.
Wow. So just in downtown Minneapolis, just the population of people who live in downtown may already be past what it was when Minneapolis was at its peak. That's fascinating, Eric.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and you have to think about it. It's interesting, you know, the notion of residential living in downtown is very different today than it was then. We didn't have high rises in Loring Park, and, you know, freeways took out a lot of, you know, housing in certain areas, and then also obviously the Gateway Skid Row district, you know, that's all gone. So the notion of what that residential housing looks like is completely different.
You know, one of the things you didn't say, although you've mentioned it in other stories, is this, one of the ramifications here is going to happen when we have our census in 2020. We're going to redistrict all those political legislative seats in the legislature and with Congress. And I can't help but think that that's going to move a lot of those lines come census time.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, you know, within the legislative districts and, you know, and then the other kind of big story on the census, which we've written about, is, you know, that we're likely to lose a congressional seat in the next census. So there's kind of going to be a lot of ramifications for the next census.
There's other things. There's the good and the bad. You've talked about, you know, the city living and people love being able to walk, but it doesn't come without growing pains. What are some of those?
I mean, you know, some of them are, parking is one I sometimes say, you know, this, like, it seems like almost every story in local government reporting sometimes comes back to parking. So this fits that trend very much, right? So with the North Loop, where we have neighborhoods that are kind of rising again, which didn't exist before, these were industrial areas, we have, you know, we have a parking crunch in these areas. And then you also have the issues of, you know, rents going up for businesses, and then, you know, the affordability of housing and availability of housing for families. So if you want a 3-bedroom apartment in downtown Minneapolis, that's going to be a stretch for a lot of families, especially since you can, if you want to move to South Minneapolis, you could probably get a lot more for the same money. And then, you know, in places like Lower Town, and I think this was kind of previously true of the North Loop, You know, you have artists and others who kind of made use of industrial buildings when no one really was interested.
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of the byproduct of all this growth and all this development is that those folks have been kind of, they've been displaced. And so, you know, there's kind of several tiers of impact
sure.
here.
Who can afford to actually live in the two cities anymore? That's a big debate. That's a conversation we have had before and we'll have again. I saw a city council member in one of the two cities once get yelled at and sworn at in a coffee shop over parking, Eric. So thank you so much for that. I will post your story again on Twitter as well. Eric, good reporting there. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Tom.
This is NPR News.